Our text this morning is 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. 2 John 1, 8. The second epistle of John, verse 8, reads this way. It says, "Look unto yourselves, that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne again this morning, asking for the blessing, Lord, of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, to hear from you, and Lord, that you might be highly exalted and honored and glorified, Lord, and our lives empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Speak to us, move amongst us, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Look to Yourselves," and that's important. Obviously it is, because it's in the Bible, it's in the Word of God, and the idea here in our text is to consider the direction of our faith, right? Or technically the faith that God has given to us in salvation. And so we're going to look at three thoughts this morning. The first one will be the foundational components of the Christian faith, and that's truth and love. These are the foundational components of faith in Christ. And then secondly, we're going to look at a doctrinal test concerning the two components. And then lastly, a word of encouragement. And so as we consider the first thought here, this is the foundational components of the Christian faith being truth and love. God has given the believer the new law in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that new law is that God has placed His love into our hearts and minds to love one another, but ultimately to love Him. And by the love that we have one toward another, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, that's how men are going to know that you belong to me, by the love that you have one toward another. So it's very important that we consider the direction of our faith, or as the text says, that we look to ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. Now, the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, that he loved the church and he gave himself for it. And it's possible, listen, that there are people that may know the Lord in salvation but may not have a right relationship with him. Is that possible? Can you possibly be in the family of God and not walking upright with him? Well, Joseph's brothers had a relationship with God, but not a very good one. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, they say about a year before Nathan approached him and said, "Thou art the man," and he made things right. And he wrote the 51st Psalm where it talked about he called upon the Lord to restore the joy of his salvation. So it's possible to be a child of God and not be walking upright with the Lord. Now, why do you say that? Well, because today, in the day and age in which we live, a lot of people have the wrong concept of what the church is about. And I'm just going to share this with you, and this is important. Hold your place right here. If you'd like to, you can come with me so that you can see for yourself. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, and I'm going to read these to you, so if you want to listen, that will work as well. This is what Paul was saying as he was getting ready to finish his race. And he knew that he was not going to be long on the earth here. But Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says this. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Remember what the Lord said to Peter? "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And where are the sheep? The sheep are in the church. The sheep are in that assembly. And so he says this. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Yes, the Lord did die to give us eternal life, but he died for the church, specifically believers in the church. And this is important to understand because there are people that want to tell you about spiritual things, and they've got the wrong idea about the church of God. I can only explain it one of two ways. Either that person really doesn't know the Lord, or they're surely not in right fellowship. I heard one fellow said, "Well, I try the church thing, you know, and people there are kind of snooty and uppity." I don't know what church he's been to, but he's talking about, "Oh, they're so perfect." Again, I don't know what church he's been to, and anyway, I couldn't do the church thing. So I'm going to tell you about how to serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you about what God's getting ready to do, and I'm thinking, you've missed a heartbeat of God. You either really don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are so far out of step with him that you don't know that God loved the church and gave his blood for it. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, obviously this was overlooked. And here it says, "Unto him be glory in the what?" In the church, right? Glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So again, this is important. Right there in the same book, chapter 5, in verse 25, it says this, "Husbands, love your wives," listen to this, "even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." And then also he says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having, and you'll hear people really downplay the church. And by the way, listen, may we realize it's a specific church. It's the church that believes that Jesus Christ died for our sins and paid for all of our sins to give us and to redeem us, to give us eternal life. Not this idea that, well, okay, I have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then I have to also be baptized for my salvation. No, I get baptized to identify with Christ because I'm already saved and because that's what he's called me to do. And this is important because a lot of people call themselves churches that are not churches. And by the way, there's another group that says that Satan and Jesus were brothers. That's not a church. Amen. That's not what you'll find in the scriptures. But here's what he says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. And then he says this at the closing here towards the bottom on verse 32. Paul says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I use the allegory or the analogy of a husband and wife love for one another," but he says specifically, "I want you to know I'm talking about Christ in the church." So does Christ have an interest in his local New Testament church? Absolutely. And to sidestep that is to sidestep an understanding of what God thinks about the local New Testament church. So this is important. And then now, as we get into our text, and we're right here in the book of Ephesians, just back up to the book of Romans, and I want you to understand this, that concerning this new law that God has given to us, these foundational components in the Christian faith, and that is truth and love, it is the Lord that has placed in the renewed heart by the Holy Spirit, a love for God and for his people. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, and this is important to hear. Verse 5 says this, and hope maketh not ashamed because, listen to this, the love of God, not the love of the world, the love of God is shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we've been given the Holy Ghost, and the love of God is shed abroad by the power of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And so it's important that we acknowledge that, because that's really the right fuel or power source that God uses to empower the life of the believer. To sidestep that is to miss the Lord again. And I'm not saying that you don't love the Lord if you know him as your Savior, but we're not going to be really looking unto ourselves and finding out, how am I walking through this world? It is possible to walk in this world in the power of our own strength. But as a saved child of God, we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us to walk in a way that would honor and glorify him. Today, listen, and I'm not trying to be unkind to people that call themselves, or groups that call themselves, churches. I just want this group right here, God's people in this house, to know what the Bible says, what God says about his love. The focus is not, oh, listen, you don't know the troubles. Only God knows my troubles. And to focus, the focus is on people instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God never said that when we go through this life, we will not have trials or tribulations. He didn't say that would not be the case. He said, in fact, you will have troubles and you will have trials. But the good thing is God uses those things to work his will in our lives. Now, I will just tell you this, that is not a natural understanding to our hearts and minds. In fact, it's not even a comfortable one. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to the place to where we say, yes, Lord, I understand that you are doing a work in my life when you allow this trial, that I might be not anxious in everything, but rest that you're going to work it out, right? Now, if you're here and you're a child of God, tell me that this has not happened to you. You got anxious over something, and it turned out okay anyway. Let me try that again. Ready? You got anxious over something, and whether it took an hour or the whole day, or by the end of the week, it was all right. God had it the whole time. See? And he allowed that into your life so that you can say, Lord, I can't do this in my strength because I'm going to get anxious about it. And you would not have me to be anxious about it. You'd have me to be with faith, trusting you that I'm in your hands. And so that even if the things don't go the way we would like for them to go, guess what? They're still in God's hands and we can receive those things. But God wants us to receive those things that are going to work out, to confirm that even when they don't, we know this, they worked out in such a way, as God's word says, to honor and glorify him and also for our good. Listen, we're just passing through this world. Our home is with the Lord. And so may we not be so earthly attached, not that you can't enjoy the things in this world, but not more than our God. And so that's what we need to be careful. And God is wanting us, he's wanting to teach us these things. Remember what Paul said? In whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I have learned, therefore, in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Paul had to learn that. And listen, just hearing something doesn't mean you learn it. Isn't that the truth? You don't just take a class and at the end of that class, you automatically know it. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever failed at something after being instructed because it, for whatever reason, it didn't make sense? I promise you, listen, when it comes to the Word of God and the things of God, his ways are so much farther and above our ways. We can hear something and not really understand it. We can hear maybe the academic part, but miss the instructional lesson that God is wanting us to gain from that, and the power in which God wants us to walk in. So he says, look to yourselves and make sure that God's work is taking place in your life. It's not this, okay, I got that message and we're on with life and now I'll see you next Sunday. right? No. What does this mean? What is God wanting to do in my life? How much of your life? Just on Sundays? How about an hour on Sunday morning and an hour in a Sunday evening? Right? No, God is wanting to bring forth, listen, His life for His honor and glory in you and me. And that's why He's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. I promise you, a lot of churches are missing that. I'm not saying that there aren't churches that are preaching that. There's no doubt in my mind God has His churches preaching His truths. But we need to be careful as His people that we're looking to ourselves to making sure that God is fulfilling that work in our lives and that we're just not hearing it and moving on and just taking care of business and forgetting all about the Lord throughout the rest of the week. So He says, I want you to know that I've put this. In fact, I'll read it again. And hope maketh not ashamed here in Romans 5:5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One more text, and we'll get back to our main text here, and that's found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 says this. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Listen to this, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. That's what the Lord is wanting to do. He says, I'm going to put it into their hearts. How is He going to do that? By the Holy Spirit. And He's the paraclete, is He not? He's the one that comes alongside of us and helps us because we can't do that. He's the one, God, again, let me just tell you, God has not said, okay, now you focus on the fruits of the Spirit so that you can produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's us then. God says, you be filled with the Spirit, and guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to produce fruit through you. Because we don't know what one moment is going to bring into our lives, whether God wants to produce kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, all these things that are of the Lord, we don't know. And you're going to be focused on one thing, and God may lead you in a completely different direction. If we're focusing on the fruits of the Spirit instead of the Spirit Himself to guide us into all those things, we're never going to experience victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're focused on producing a certain thing, we're not looking unto the Lord, we're looking to that thing, and we'll miss the Lord. And God doesn't want us to do that. So back to our text here in 2 John. And I want to just take a few moments and consider these truths here this morning. And that is, first of all, two foundational components in the Christian faith. And that is truth and love. The first one is found in the first four verses. And listen to this, verse 1. The elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the what? In the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. There's a similar spirit. Can you see that? So listen, we understand this because of the love of God that indwells us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. For the truth's sake, see, this is a fundamental component and foundational component that God has given to us to understand. Not just to know of it, listen, but to experience the love of God working through our lives. Listen, not our love. Our love is not the same as the love of God. Let me just tell you the difference. I'll love you as long as you love me. That's our human love. Tell me that's not true. Because the moment you cross somebody, then all of a sudden they're on the defensive anymore. They're not willing to turn the other cheek. They're not looking to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. What they're concerned about is me and mine. That's the natural tendency. And God says, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about the welfare and the well-being of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We cannot do that naturally, and God doesn't want us to or expect us to. He says, verse 2, for the truth's sake, which, listen, dwelleth in us, shall be with us for how long? Forever. Isn't that amazing? Forever. This is the love of God. Now, let me ask you this. In heaven, do you think we'll understand the love of God to a greater degree? Are there any tears in heaven? Has somebody ever hurt you in your lifetime that brought tears to your eyes? So guess what? Nobody's going to be hurting anybody in heaven. Amen. Because there'll be no tears in heaven. But wait a minute. God's not wanting us to wait till heaven. We've already been given the love of God. Amen. But here's the problem. Ready? We don't understand, naturally speaking, that we have to ask God. You will never receive unless you ask the Lord. And you'll never ask the Lord unless you realize you need Him. Unless you realize that, listen, my love is not acceptable before the Lord. My love is partial. God's love is not partial. God's love is something quite different than my love. Amen. Is it not? Yes. All right. Now listen, have you ever had a best friend that you considered like a brother or sister growing up? I have. I've been fortunate to have several that I would do anything for. And yet I would not sacrifice one of my children for their redemption and for their freedom. Not that God would look at that. But that's what our Heavenly Father did. And I'm sharing that to explain this. And that is that God gave us His Son. That's a love that we don't understand. To take our place. And I have friends that I love like a brother. But I would not give up the life of one of my children for anything. And so that's the love that God is wanting us to walk in. And I promise you, listen, your love and my love falls far short of the love of God. But here's what we think. This is the natural realm. Well, I'll just love people for Jesus. No, you won't. No, you won't. God will love people for Jesus if you allow Him. But if you're not asking Him to do that, that is never going to take place. But you may not understand to do that because we just look at the surface. Oh yeah, because we're supposed to love one another, but not in our love, but in God's love. And see, listen, that's why today the church is not growing. And what I mean by growing, spiritual growth, where people are seeing the power of God and not our own. Okay, so what does our society think of Christians today? What does our society think of them? Well, they're do-gooders, or they keep the commandments, or try to keep the commandments, or better yet, they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what the world would say. What did the world say about the first century Christians? The Bible says they were turning the world upside down, and many people were coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation because of what they saw where? In the church and the people. So what's missing today? Oh, we need bigger buildings. We need to paint our ceiling black and get some psychedelic colors and get a band up here and maybe a drama team and then maybe a big picnic and maybe a band later on, and boy, will we bring them in. Yep, and that's all we'll do. But what has God done in all of that? Not one thing. Because you see where we're getting, that's how we think. Do you think that God's impressed with that? God says, guess what? I'm wanting to glorify, I'm telling you what God is saying, and I'm not trying to lambast other people that are doing these things. I'm just saying, listen, we're missing what the message is, and that is, here it is, ready? God is wanting to glorify Himself where? Through you and me, through the church, through people. And what we're doing is we're excusing ourselves and we're saying, well, let's just come up with a wonderful idea. But the problem with that is it's not God's. And so he says, I want you to know in verse number 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Look at verse 3. Grace be with you. That's the grace of God. What else will be there? Mercy. Whose mercy? Not mine. But God's mercy and peace, not the world's peace, surely not my peace. My peace is short-lived. Amen. It really is. It really is. Now, I might be able to put a straight face, right? I mean, and I try to sometimes. I do, but I know on the inside I've been offended, and you do too. Amen? Amen? And you do too. Have you ever just kind of put a straight face? Somebody said something you didn't like, and you just kept smiling anyway? Huh? And why? Well, you were trying to be polite, but where did that come from? Not the Lord. Inside you were saying, boy, man, if I wasn't a Christian, or if I didn't care. In fact, look at the world. My wife said, if you ever catch me out in my pajamas in public, just run me over. And she said that, I kid you not, about 15 years ago. And I kid you not, we were out in Colombia, and there were three fellas, late teens, early 20s, in their pajamas, all three of them. And I'm telling you, pajama bottoms like you would not believe. And what is that? Our society has gone off the rails. But wait a minute, God did not call them to be the light. God called the Lord's church to be the light, His people to be the light. And so why am I saying all that? Because God is wanting us, is He not, by His power and grace to influence the world for Him. Is the Lord willing that anybody should perish? No, He's not willing. But if God's people, listen, are just relaxed on their blessed assurance because they've got eternal life and it doesn't really matter what, I've got heaven, we're missing out. And by the way, listen, I want you to understand this. I am not wanting to make anybody here feel guilty to do anything, ever, ever. Because if I make you feel guilty to do something, whatever you do will be short-lived. But if God can speak to our hearts, and God will empower our lives, now we've got a good change. Now we have a change that's going to last because God is doing that work. How does that change come? How is that going to take place in our lives? We have to ask Him for it. But if we never ask Him for it, well, will we ever get it? So He says this in verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So here, as we consider this here, we find these two fundamental components concerning truth and love. Look at verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, and He's speaking to the church here, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning of our salvation, from the beginning of our understanding, that we what? Now listen, and scholars will tell you this many times in the scriptures, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, all right? The word Holy Spirit, and this confounds some people, but there's no confusion here, and this will make perfect sense. The word Holy Spirit, the capital S is not always capitalized when it is making reference to the Spirit of God. Sometimes you'll find it in the lowercase. And people get all bent out of shape and get all offended, but what they're missing out on is that, does the Holy Spirit indwell the believer? But wait a minute, God does not make us robots. We need to be a willing vessel. Amen. And that means, listen, you could pick up the personality of Paul when you read his letters. And you can pick up the personality of Peter when you read his letters, the epistles, right? You can pick that up, you can pick it up, you can see it in him. And likewise, God is not trying to do without us. He is going to work with us. And so He's going to use you and your personality by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so, yes, it's going to be your spirit that He quickened, which was dead before salvation. Is that not what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2? Yeah. He's quickened us together with Christ. And then His Holy Spirit that indwells us works together to honor and glorify Him. But if it's just us trying to do something that's right for God, we've missed the Lord. And so it is Christ in us and the Holy Spirit and our spirit being used for His honor and glory. So yes, it's our faith, but it is technically the faith that the Lord has given to us that He empowers for us to walk uprightly. We will never walk upright in our strength and in our power. And I'll remind you of this, God will never allow that. And the reason being is if you have any success, I promise you, you'll think you've done it. And by the way, what is it that gives you any acceptance before the Lord? His blood. That's it. His blood. Nothing else gives you any acceptance. Now the devil will say this to you. Oh, listen, you've not been doing so hot today. The flesh will tell you that, and yourself will tell you that too. And so here's what we might think. I don't have as much access today. Oh, no. The access that you have to the throne of God is the blood of the Lamb. And listen, that never changes in spite of how you feel, how I feel, what the world says, or what the devil thinks. That will never change. My access to the throne of God is the same and will never change. Even if I've sinned against the Lord, I still have access to come before the throne, confess my sin, and he put me in right standing before him. The sooner we realize that the only reason we have anything is because of the righteousness of God, and God wants us to serve him in that same righteousness that's of God, is the moment we begin to walk in his victory. The blood was shed to pay for our redemption. The resurrection took place that we might also know that we can be delivered, amen, from death, from this body. Who can deliver me from this body of death, Paul said in Romans chapter 7. And then what did he say in the next breath? I thank my God, and talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And we praise God for that. All right, look at verse 4. Again, notice he says, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Listen, it has to be received. That's a key ingredient. And this is how we walk in truth. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we what? Love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. You should walk in it. As you heard from the beginning, as the Lord mentioned it. Now here's the question. Is that what's taking place in our lives? Are we walking in God's love, or is it something that we're fabricating, or are we not even concerned at all about it? That's possible. All right. That's the first thought, and quickly, we'll finish up right here. The second thought is the doctrinal test of the two components. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. This is somebody diametrically opposed to the truth. But I want you to know that there are people that are deceived because they're walking in sin and they're excusing that. See, here, listen. It's easy to do this. You don't ever have to worry about the power of God in your life if we come to this conclusion, well, I can't do that. Well, you're right. You can't and never will. You and I will never do anything that will be pleasing in the sight of God unless he does it in and through us for his honor and glory. Not unless he does it in such a way that I know he did it. See, we can't play games. We can't play games. You've got to come to the end of yourself and weep bitterly like Peter did, because Peter was so, I will not deny you. And boy, oh boy, did he do it three times. And then he went out and wept bitterly. Do you think? And he thought the Lord was done with him. Was the Lord done with him? No. And remember what he said when the man that was lame from his mother's womb, when Peter and John went in there, and he said in Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he went up leaping and praising God. And then all of the people, all the men of Israel looked at Peter and John, and Peter said, how'd you like that? Is that what he said? Did you see me do that? You see how, was that impressive? No, that's not what he said. He said, men of Israel, brethren, why do you look at us as if by our own power we made this man whole? Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, is a reason and occasion for this man being made whole. And I'm just paraphrasing there. Isn't that amazing? So what do we say? What do we say when we put on the Christian robe? When we go ahead and try to, if we're not careful, we're doing what God doesn't want us to do. Instead of saying, God, you know what? Listen, Lord, I need you. I don't have the power to do. I don't have the unconditional love. I don't. But you want to do that through me. Lord, I want people to see you, not me trying to honor you. I want people to see your power in my life. Oh, listen. If God's people will come to the place to where they will call upon the power of God in their lives, do you think our witness would be different? But instead, here's what we think. And I say that because I'm guilty of it. And listen, picked up a burden, picked up a load that the Lord said I should have never picked up. Why? Why do we pick it up? The same reason Peter did. Lord, I won't deny you. He loved it. He loved the Lord. Do you think Peter believed that he was going to be successful that night? Absolutely so. He did. Was he successful? No. Truth, ready? You and I won't either. You and I won't either. That'll be wood, hay, and stubble. Anything that you and I try to do without calling upon the Lord in our lives on a daily basis, moment by moment, Lord, knowing that nothing I can do will honor and glorify you unless, because of the blood of the Lamb and the eternal life that you've given to me and the Holy Spirit that you've indwelt me with, enables me to do it for your honor and glory. And that's what God wants us to look to. And that's why he said, look to yourselves, make sure that you're walking uprightly. Look at verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. And you will lose them. God has given to you salvation. Notice this, but that we receive a full reward. If you received something, question, was it given? Whosoever transgresseth, verse 9, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. If they don't believe this, here's what people say. A lot of people say, we're all Christians together. Not if they believe that they've got to work for their salvation. Not if they believe that's Jesus plus works. That's never going to happen. It's all of the Lord or it doesn't happen. And we're coming together now in a place to where people say, it doesn't matter what church you've come from. It doesn't matter if you've come from a church that believes you can lose your salvation or that you believe by salvation, by grace, and not of works. We'll just come together in kumbaya because we're all Christians. Oh, no, that's not what God says. And then on top of that, even if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power of God. Are you looking to yourself to make sure that what's operating in your life is the power of God and not your own? This is what's important to the Lord. Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Did you see that? I didn't say that. If you participate with somebody just because they call themselves a Christian and they're not adhering to the truth, I think God's pretty concerned about that, don't you? When he says, if you bid him Godspeed, God be with you, God bless you, you're partaker of his evil deeds if he doesn't believe in the truth. And then lastly, a word of encouragement, verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy, isn't that amazing, may be what? Full. The children of the elect sister greet thee, amen. He says, I want you to know something. God wants us to have a full joy. But here's the question. Whose joy is it? Is it our joy or God's joy? Is it the world's peace or God's peace that we're after? Whose power? Is it our power or God's power that we're after? Whose power do you want today? Do you want your power? Your power is limited. Do you get tired? Do you get tired? You know, we can do well. We can do well, can't we? Little kids, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. Do they get tired? And what happens when they get tired? They get cranky. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I think Josiah and Gracie, they were little. Josiah may have been about 6 years old. And I was invited to, in Texas, to give an invocation there. And I sat through. It was a political thing. They invited me to come. I said, okay, I'll come. I brought my kids. I did not know it was going to be 2.5 hours. I did not know that. They said, we'll feed you. It was at a restaurant. You know, we had the whole room. And there was a representative that sat on the other side between me and my kids. He was there by himself. And my kids were little at that time. I think Gracie was in the maybe fourth grade. I can't remember. Anyway, and then Julia maybe in the fourth or fifth grade, and then Jessica was, of course, the oldest one. But anyway, after that, we walked out. That fella came up to my car, introduced himself. I can't remember who he is. Told me who he was, and he said, "I just want you to know, I am impressed with your kids. They sat there for like 2 or 2.5 hours, and I want you to know, all I did was point him toward the Lord." And I told him so many times, "I'm so glad that you don't act out like that." And I think one of them said, "Dad, you'd kill us if we did." And they were right. They were right. But listen, the worst thing I see parents do is correct their kids in public. You know what the problem with that is? They're not doing it at home. If you corrected them at home, you wouldn't have to do it in public. They look no different than their kids when they start yelling at their kids in public. I'm telling you, I'm embarrassed for the parents more times than I am the kids. The kids are just doing what they've not been taught to do. And the parents are doing what they should have done at home. And they excuse it. "Oh, my kid just needs to take a nap." No, they should have been corrected a long time ago. And God is, listen, if we're not careful, God deals with us as his children. And here's what I'm trying to say. We can function. And by the way, if we look at our own lives, when do we mess up? Is it not when we're tired? When we're tired, we stand more chances of making mess-ups than any time before. That's why we need the power of God that never fails, even when we're tired. Do you remember the Lord with the woman at the well? And the disciples went off to go get him some food. And he said, "I've got meat to eat of." The disciples said, "Master, eat." He says, "I've got meat to eat of that you know not of." And who brought him food? They're wanting to know, how in the world has this guy got energy? He should have been exhausted. Who gave him something to eat? And he says, "My meat is to do the will of my Father that sent me." And the only, listen, we have to ask the Lord for that. Listen, you can know about the food, but unless you sit at the table and partake of it, you're never going to get the nourishment from it. We can know that, but it doesn't become ours until we ask the Lord for that. Listen, it's critical that you and I honor and glorify the Lord. On top of that, I'm not doing it. Don't get me wrong. I want everything the Lord wants me to have. And I will be thankful in eternity in heaven to receive any reward that the Lord gives me for using my life. I will be thankful for that. My debt to the Lord is his love towards me. I don't understand that, why he chose me, why he opened up my eyes, and why he allowed me to understand my need to trust him as my Savior. How about all of us this morning? Can we not say the same thing? And God is saying, if you'll ask me, I'll show you great and mighty things today in your life that will honor me and bring you to the place of worship. When God works through your life and mine, we will worship him. This morning, God says, look to yourselves. Don't neglect that. And ask God if he's truly fulfilling not your will for him, but his will for us. Would you stand, please, as we prepare for the Lord's invitation and opportunity for us to call on him and say, "Oh God, perform your will and your work in me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that you would speak to our hearts as only you can, and move amongst us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.